The Youth's Instructor, May 4, 1899. The Resurrection of Lazarus, Part 6. The Youth's Instructor, May 4, 1899. The Resurrection of Lazarus, Part 6. When the Lord is about to do a work, Satan moves upon someone to object. "Take ye away the stone," Christ said. "As far as possible, prepare the way for my work." But Martha's positive and ambitious nature asserted itself. Thinking that he wished only to look upon the body of her brother, she said, "Lord, the work of corruption had made this impossible." She thought that it would be terrible to reveal the decomposing body to the beholders. Thus she expressed her unbelief. She did not realize that Jesus had tarried for 2 days where he was when he received the message, permitting Lazarus to die, that he might manifest the greatness of his power by raising him, thus giving all who should witness the miracle an evidence that could not be excelled. Christ reproved Martha for her unbelief, but his words were spoken with the utmost gentleness. "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Why should you doubt my power? You have my word. If you will believe, you shall see the glory of God." Skepticism and unbelief are not humility. Implicit belief in Christ's word is true humility, true self-surrender. Christ's every word is full of meaning. His every lesson is important. Was not his word sufficient for Martha, even in her sorrow? Why did she reason in opposition to his requirements? Natural impossibilities cannot prevent the work of the Omnipotent One. Christ would not be hindered in taking the prey from the enemy and giving his disciples another trophy of victory. But the human heart is slow to understand Christ's words, and Martha's faith had not grasped the true meaning of his promise. "Take ye away the stone." Christ could have commanded the stone to remove, and it would have obeyed his voice. He could have bidden the angels who were close at his side to do this. At his bidding, invisible hands would have removed the stone. But the stone was to be taken away by human hands. Thus, Christ would show that humanity is to cooperate with divinity. What human power can do, divine power is not summoned to do. God does not dispense with man's aid. He strengthens him, cooperating with him as he uses the powers and capabilities given him. The order was obeyed. The stone was rolled away. Everything was done openly and deliberately. All were given opportunity to see that no deception was being practiced. There lay the body of Lazarus in its rock grave, cold and silent in death. The cries of the mourners were hushed. Surprised and expectant, the company stood around the sepulchre, waiting to see what next would happen. Calmly, Christ stands before the grave. No hurried movements are made. A sacred solemnity exerts its influence upon all present. Christ steps closer to the sepulchre. Lifting his eyes to heaven, he says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Not long before this, Christ's enemies had taken up stones to cast at him because he claimed to be the Son of God. They had accused him of blasphemy, of performing his miracles by the power of Satan, thus blaspheming God themselves. But here Christ claims God as his Father, and with perfect confidence declares that he is the Son of God. In all that he did, Christ was cooperating with his Father. Ever he had been careful to have it understood that he did not work independently, but that it was by faith and prayer that he wrought his miracles. Christ desired all to know his relationship with his Father. "Father," he said, "I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Here the disciples and the people were to be given the most convincing evidence in regard to the relationship existing between Christ and God. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" His voice, clear and penetrating, falls with solemn power on the people and pierces the ear of the dead. As he speaks, divinity flashes through humanity. The people see in his face, which is lighted up by the glory of God, the assurance of his power. Every eye is fastened on the entrance to the cave. Every ear is quickened to hear each word. With intense and painful interest, all wait for the test of Christ's claim, the evidence that is to substantiate the fact that he is the Son of God, or to extinguish the hope forever. There is a stir in the silent tomb. He who was dead stands at the door of the sepulchre. His movements are impeded by the grave clothes in which he was laid away, and Christ says to the astonished spectators, "Loose him and let him go." Again they are shown that what human hands can do, divine power does not attempt to perform. The human worker is to cooperate with God. In God's order, humanity is to work for humanity. There is a work that God alone can do. He alone can heal the sick. But the physician can cooperate with him by supplying right conditions. God alone can restore the diseased frame. But if man fails to do his part, he has no right to expect God to do his part. This miracle exerted a powerful influence. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. They received Christ, and in them the words were fulfilled. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. They had just witnessed the most wonderful evidence ever given to men that Jesus was the Messiah. But in spite of this, they surrounded their souls with darkness so dense that the divine light could not reach their souls.